I want to read you about a week in the life of Northwood. Just listen to this. This is a week in the life of Northwood that I saw. This is not everything that happened at Northwood. This is just, as this week I was reflecting about everything that was going on, this is what I saw. On Monday, I met with some Northwood leaders as we talked about how to manage the 170 churches we've started and the 170 global churches that we've started and the 25 global churches that we work with. That night, I was on the conference call with 30 different people across the country to talk about how we dialogue with people of different faiths because they're fascinated what Northwood has done in multi-faith. On Tuesday, me and some leaders also then met, talked about our cell ministry. What does it look like to start cell groups around ministry? This morning, a lady comes up to me, not having a clue about what I'm preaching. And she said, "Pastor Bob, I'm so excited." I said, "Why?" She said, "God laid on our cell group a sports field in Haltom City that's overgrown. We've gone down there. We've cleaned it up. We're going to start a ministry down there." She got it. She got it. Yeah, you can clap for that. And then, so that's what they did. Nikki and I had supper with a young couple that we love in our church who are missionaries in a very delicate part of the world. They were trying to figure out, listen to this, how do we take the message of Northwood to other missionaries so that they realize it's not just them going and doing it, but them doing it with the church. And then their next question to me was, "Bob, how do we live in this part of the world and serve Northwood?" I started sobbing in my enchiladas. It broke my heart. Wednesday, I had lunch with a bunch of imams, shared my faith with one prominent Muslim man, and that man later emailed me yesterday. He has a website that thousands of people visit. He said, "Bob, would you mind doing a 10-page Christianity 101 on the website and explain what a Christian is and how a person becomes a Christian? Because I just want people to understand who you Christians are." I said, "I guess so. Maybe I can pull that off." Later that day, I met with leaders of pastors and different faiths all over the city as January 20th, we planned to come together for another Building Bridges event. Little did we know that January the 21st is Martin Luther King Day. Isn't that just wonderful that civil rights is definitely religious rights and freedom of religion? Later that night, I met with my cell group of 10 guys. Two of them struggling with their marriages, one looking for a job, three of them with kids with broken relationships. In other words, the men in my cell group are thoroughly screwed up, and I love it. And we meet at my home on Wednesday nights, and God does great things. And one of them started talking, "You know, I love this cell group, but I sense God calling me to start a cell group around people with special needs. And so we have a child with Augsburger. So we're going to start, we're leaving, Bob, because we're going to start a cell group at Northwood with that." On Thursday, I had lunch with one of our young pastors. His church is only 5 years old, has started 6 churches, works with the Fulani in West Africa, and he was just saying, "How do I take it to another level?" That church runs only 150 on Sundays. Later that afternoon, I was in a conference call with 15 megachurch pastors across America because their response was, "We've learned how to do a worship service. We've got people that are coming. How do we release people like Northwood has released them, where they're using their jobs, where they're working around the world, where they're doing crazy stuff?" We talked about that. That night, my wife and I invited a rabbi and his wife over to our home a few months ago, and so we had them in our home. They prayed over the meal in their way. We prayed over the meal in our way, and we wound up talking about Jesus a long time. What's interesting, that rabbi stuttered and has the exact same story that I do about how God called him to the ministry. Now, obviously, we disagree over some things. Now, it doesn't stop there. Friday, I got up and I read Isaiah 45. I've told you that the Great Commission is all throughout the Bible. It's not just in one spot. It starts with Genesis 1 with God, who's the guy? Adam. Yeah. Genesis 1, it starts with him. Be fruitful and multiply. It continues with Abraham. Genesis 12, a father of a nation. Genesis 17, father of nations. The Great Commission continues throughout the Psalms. It continues throughout Isaiah. Isaiah 45 is no less than a restatement of the Great Commission. And I just was studying it. and I was planning for different areas of the next year. I was pumped. I was studying the results from our survey that hundreds of you took. I was actually excited over the results. We got a ways to go. We need to do a lot better, but it was a heck of a lot better than I thought we would do. I was pumped and figuring out, okay, what do we do with all this? On Saturday, Thursday night, the rabbi wanted to see the church. So I bring him up here. What does he do? He finds there's a group of men working on IT that are going to Vietnam. He was blown away by that. He sees a lot of you decorating. There's some of you that are up here working on the Christmas festival. He was just blown away by all the volunteers. Saturday, I come up here. There's a discovery class. People are going through that to learn how to use their job. And then later in the morning, I see hundreds of people literally up here working on the Christmas festival. Now, I've got a question for you. You just heard just what I saw. That doesn't count what went on here every day of the week. That doesn't count what you saw. I probably didn't even call out what you do. Let me ask you a question. How much of that is the Great Commission? How much of it? Thank you. Every bit of it. Why? Because you got to make disciples to go. You got to use your job to engage. You've got to be healthy emotionally, spiritually, financially, every other way to do what God has called you to do. So very briefly this morning, I want to give you four things as we conclude this month of missions and focus on trying to raise the $910,000. Very quickly, let me just give you some things that I would say to you that are critical as we do it. And there are four key concepts that God has given Northwood, four books that have been written about, four things that people are constantly calling and asking us for stuff in order to help their churches. Here's the first thing I would say. It says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So he gives that to us. But I want us to look at what the other gospels say, and I'm just going to read all five Great Commissions that Jesus gave. That's the first one in Matthew. Mark 16:15 says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." The first thing that I want you to understand, the Great Commission is everywhere you go. There's a little term we use at Northwood. I even wrote a book on it. It describes the merging of the global and the local. We call that word glocal. We're not crazy local yokels. It's just the merging. Acts 1:8 says that it begins in Jerusalem, but it says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We've taught you the Great Commission is everywhere we go. A lot of people think first we do it at home, then a little farther out, then a little farther out. That's not true. It's not describing the sequence. It's describing the dimensions. And in other words, simultaneously, while you're reaching as far as you can, you're doing everything you can right here. So I may have a heart for Jews and Muslims in the Holy Land, but God help me if I don't love them in Dallas-Fort Worth. I may love Vietnamese around the world and want to touch their hearts, but God help me if I don't love the Vietnamese community in Haltom City. I may want to do microfinance around the world, but God help me if I don't care about people that are in poverty around me. It's not here, then there. That is unbiblical. The scripture does not teach that. The Great Commission is here and there. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? All right. It's everywhere. That's the first thing that we have to understand. That's what we learned. So what did we do first? We began to work in Vietnam. What did that do? It pushed us to work in the inner city. So it's as you go. So it's everywhere you go. It's the cell group that's going to work on the playground. It's the cell group that's going to work with special needs. It's the cell group that's working with refugees. What is your cell group doing? You are the church. You're part of the body of Christ. You are. What are you doing as your micro church? You've heard of micro breweries? I don't believe in them, but I believe in micro churches. Amen? What is that micro church like when you meet together and God's called you around missions? Here's a second thing, not just everywhere you go, but look at what Luke says, Luke 24:47. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. The first thing is, it's everywhere you go, generously. Now, how do we give? What's the number one way that we talk about how we engage? It's a little word we use called domains. We discovered in Vietnam when they began to ask us work with schools and clinics and businesses and all of these other things. And so the whole premise is that those domains, whatever your job is, whatever it is that you have in your hand, your skills, your talents, your passions, that's what people were learning yesterday. That's how they use it. It's a concept of domains. It's a concept of release. Do you know right now the church in America, we figured out how to do worship services, but we don't know how to release people. And last week, there's a group of people that are meeting around the country. And do you know what they're using as their model to figure out how to do this? You. Because many of them have been here at the conferences we've held. They've heard you talk about how you'd use your jobs to do your stuff around the world. See, people used to think, well, what do I do with my job? I just witness to people there. I start a Bible study at my job. We are talking about far more than that. Definitely. Witness to people at your job, amen? Share your faith at your job, but use that unique skill to serve the city. I was at a movie theater, and we did it one time. We're not going to do it again. We're not going to spend our money that way. But there's a lot of churches that will do in the movie theaters. And I've, over the holidays, I've seen some movies, and I've seen some of the churches, great churches. I like them. But when I watch the videos of what it's saying is, they go, best kids program, best youth ministry, best da-da-da-da-da, and it's all centered around that service. If we had an ad at the movie theater, I'd like to say, we care about your family and your city. Amen? To say, it's not just about how my church is doing, but how is the city doing? Do we care about this city? What is God doing in this city? How are you connecting with this city? What are you doing to serve this city? Whole concept of domains, skills, gifts, spiritual passions. And yes, part of that is money. People get upset with you talking about money. Well, you'd be mad at Jesus. You're mad at me, you're mad at Jesus. Because I don't talk about it 75% of the time. Jesus did. Do you know that? Some of you, you wouldn't be able to handle Jesus as your pastor. Because 75%, when he come, he'd always be talking about giving. And this world is not about your money, and it's not about your resources. It all belongs to God. And give it and trust him and trust me and see what he'll do. He talked about money. Why did he do that? Because that's what we value more than anything else. I've never met a person who tithed or gave offerings who ever got upset about people talking about money. I've yet to meet a single person like that. But I've met a lot of people who would squeeze the buffalo out of their nickel, but they don't want to hear about money. You know, I made my sacrifice. I came to church. Well, bless your heart. God's called you to do more than just show up at church. He's called you to make a difference in this world, and part of it means we're giving. My wife and I, it's just like your situation. I mean, we got some things that have changed for us financially in a negative way. But God spoke to my wife's heart, and what we're giving is our business, but he told us we're not going to give less to missions this year. We're giving more. We're giving more. Because you know what? God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us. Some of you have three or four cars. I've been thinking about giving my way and borrow some of your Porsches. Because God has a way to take care of us. Amen? Let me tell you something. Barack Obama doesn't have anything to do with your fiscal cliff. The Republicans don't have anything to do with your fiscal cliff. God holds on to your finances. Amen? So you can vote your financial strategy into office, or you can put your faith and trust in Jesus. You'll be fine. You may go through broke periods. You may go through tough periods. He's teaching you faith. He's teaching you trust. Chill out. He'll provide. This rabbi I got to know, he's Orthodox. The former rabbi, we just had to get kosher food. This one had to have kosher plates. And in order for him to come to our home, we literally had to get the food ordered in from a special restaurant that had the food on china, but cellophane was wrapped all around it. And they dropped it off at the house earlier in the day, but when they did that, we had to clean out our refrigerator because I like pork ribs. Couldn't be anything in there near that stuff. Let me tell you, when we sat down and we eat, it wasn't bad. And let me just remind you, kosher food is fattening. You'll still get fat. It's a fun experience. But we had to make some unique sacrifices for that rabbi. You know what he told us? He said, did you know we've never had anyone invite us into their home because we're so strict. There's never been anyone, let alone Christian or anyone, that was willing to go to this trouble. He was worth it. He's worth it to me. I told him, I said, you'd make a great associate pastor at Northwood. Just baptize you a little bit. You got such a good heart. You're halfway there. You believe the Old Testament. That's 3/4 of what we've got. Just another fourth, baby, and you got it. I love Jews. I love them all. Great Commission, everywhere you go, generously. And then John 20:21 says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. We're going to do it with others. We're going to do it with others. You know why I stay your pastor at Northwood? Because it's not about Bob Roberts and his ministry and his stuff and his opportunities and his speaking and his relationships. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the body of Christ. And here's what we have a tendency to do. We so personalize the Great Commission. It's me. It's my ministry. No, it's not. It's God's and it's his. And he can do what he wants to. Amen? He can do it with you. He can do it without you. He can even do things in your life that you never planned for, that you never dreamed of, that you never expected. What is it? It's the concept with others. We call that concept multi-faith. We used to wind up doing stuff where the church would show up as the church and doing stuff, and because of unique opportunities in Vietnam and then Afghanistan and now around the world, we wound up connecting with other people that wanted us. You know what's crazy? Yeah, I've been asked by a lot of you. This beard means I was about to go to the Middle East. Just watch wherever hell is breaking loose. People in that part of the world that are in governments generally call and said, could you come over here and help us out and help us connect with the Christians, bring the tension down? Could you help us? You realize how strange that is? That a local church is asked to do, and I'm not going, but I'm going to see how big I can get my beard just because I want to see. Amen? How many of you think I could grow it bigger than James Orth? I think I could. Who's got the biggest beard in this church? Bobby Jean is. Just give me another month because I'm from Texas and I'm a real man. Half of you weren't born here. But those of us that are from Texas, we grow big beards. Amen? Even if we're bald on top of our heads, we grow big beards because we are manly men. And some of you want to be like from Oklahoma, like Brent and things like that. Hang in there. It says it's with everybody. So we've got to hear him together. What is he saying? You know, I've been reading Acts a whole lot. Do you know what I love about Acts? It talks about how the Spirit blew like a wind, and as a result of that, they followed God wherever he said. You know how we do missions? Strategy plans. What's our purpose? What's our vision? What's our strategy? Who's our team? We've got our organization. We've got our structure. Don't mess with it. Guys, let me tell you why we teach hear and obey as disciples. Because God has things he hadn't told you about yet. And you may be tight and focused and structured on what you're doing, but you get so tight with your stuff, you're going to miss out on what God is doing. Never in a million years would have I thought I'd dealt with multi-faith and interfaith. That's boring. That's a waste of time. Until I realized Jesus wants those people to know him just like anybody else. And then I began to read Acts and discovered about all those rabbis that came to faith in Christ and realized, man, if we want to see a movement of the gospel, let's see religious gatekeepers come to faith in Christ. You know, Christianity for 300 years was a Jewish movement to Jesus because so many rabbis were coming to faith in Christ. Domains, that's boring. That's going in and doing humanitarian work. Who wants to do that? I was against that. And then I realized, but that's how the world operates. And instead of trying to get somebody to be a religious worker and a religious vocational missionary, what if everybody really was a missionary? And what if I just were able to help them connect their job and live the life of a disciple and then naturally share their faith? Guys, we can't talk about it a lot, but you do realize there are people every week accepting Christ all over the world where we work. Do you realize that? Now, we could stand up and say, hey, look at this one. Hey, look at that one. Look at what we're doing. But when we do that, we put people in a delicate situation and undercut what God is trying to do in their life. It's all of that. It's about engaging and sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. And finally, on your face before God, but you, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What are those three things, four things? It's local, it's domains, it's multi-faith. Can I tell you something new that we discovered? The Holy Spirit. The whole church has never heard of the Holy Spirit. We discovered the Holy Spirit Of course not. I'm kidding. Don't take me so serious. But about 3 years ago, one of the things that I just began to see is God is alive and the Holy Spirit is really moving over the face of the earth. And see, here's what I do. I grew up in a tradition where you just kind of cut those parts of the scripture that got a little bit too far out there. That was for yesterday. Well, if that was for yesterday, then so is your salvation. If that was for yesterday, then so is your resurrection. If that was for yesterday, then would you please stop asking God to heal people? Just say, good luck in the name of Jesus. At least be honest about it. If you really believe that God heals, ask God to heal him. And if he doesn't answer it the way you want, still love him. Amen? But at least ask him. So we cut it out. Charismatics, on the other hand, just love adding to the scripture. They didn't just deal with the demonic. They wanted to name everybody. Crazy, goofy stuff, not even in the scripture. Guys, let me tell you, you want to know what we are? We are a Bible-believing church about all that's in the New Testament. That's what I am. I believe in all the gifts. But let me tell you why those gifts are there. Those gifts are not there so you can go woozy-woozy and razzle-dazzle and be turned inward. Charismatic churches are some of the most inward churches in the world, just like some Baptists are, like the way I was raised. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit is for me to make me feel good, to make me happy, to make all my dreams come true. Guys, let me tell you something. If you believe in the Great Commission, you better be filled with the Holy Spirit. The reason God wants you free is not just so you can say, I'm free, but so that you can free others. Did you hear me? That's why he wants you free. He wants you victorious so you can help others be victorious. It's not just about how you feel, or you would die the moment you accept Christ and go to heaven, because you're going to get it all one day. Amen? Perfect wife and a perfect heaven. Perfect food, perfect everything. I'm teasing. What I want you to understand that if you're going to see this thing about the Great Commission and what it means, guys, we have to be on our knees, on our face. Amen? And could I tell you something? Do you know all four of those things that I just shared with you were no different than the man named William Carey who started the modern missions movement? He went to India, funded by the West, worked with the London Indian East Tea Company, not as a missionary, but he was literally a vocational man who was a businessman with the East India Tea Company, translated the Bible, taught education classes, so he got global. He got domains. He worked with the people of the other religions. And the Holy Spirit was powerful upon his life. We forgot that about William Carey. And instead, we thought, well, a missionary. That's just about me. And God has called me to move over there. Do you know what's preventing the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Unbiblical views from traditional responses to missions is killing us. But when we realize that he's called all of us to fulfill the Great Commission, globally, here and there, through everything that we do, connecting with those people of different faiths, it changes everything. So here's what I want you to do, and I'm finished. How many of you want to see the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Can I see your hands? All right. Every single one of you, I want you to long for the fulfillment. But when you think about it, it's overwhelming. Let's be honest. It's scary. I can't do that. So here's what I want you to do. Only what you can do. That's it. Don't worry about going over here or going over there. Only what you can do. Only what God has put in your hand. Only what you can do today. Only what you can do with those that God has placed around you. Only what you can do with your job like nobody else. Only what you can do connecting with people who are from all over the world. He's brought it to us. And then ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need it to reach those people. And see, when all of us begin to do that together, it changes everything. We are going to stand before God one day. Not you, not me, but we. We will answer as a church for what we did. He's called us. He's allowed us to be a pace-setting church, not just for us, for all these churches that we start, for the global church. Let's keep moving our feet. Would you bow your heads? No one move, please. I'm asking that no one move, only the ushers. We're going to pass those paint buckets this morning in just a moment with the offering. And I'm just going to invite you and challenge you. You've been praying about it all month. Today, give the biggest gift you can, unapologetically. You're going to go out and buy gifts for your wife and your husband and your kids and your parents and others. And you're going to do the best that you can. The number one gift that you ought to give today, starting the Christmas season, is to Jesus. So I want to challenge you to give like crazy. You're going to have to put it right masterpiece on the memo line. Keep your tithes separate. We still need those tithes in order to pay the regular everyday bills of this place. But also put a pledge. My wife and I, you do what God tells you to. We literally are going to savings in order to give what we believe God wants us to give today. But that's not all we're giving. We're pledging a certain amount every single month next year. And I am pumped about it. I'm excited about it because I'm not funding some church's missions program. I'm funding the faces that I'm seeing in this room as you're involved in Haltom City and Vietnam and Mexico and the Christmas festival and special needs and church planting and all of it. What ministries do you give to? I'm always... people call and say, hey, we need some donors. Sometimes I tell them, well, here's a Northwood person you may talk to. But at the end of the day, Northwood Church, your primary ministry, your primary funding has to be us as the body of Christ. What has he called us to do? So I want you to give liberally. Hopefully you've already prayed about it. And we'll tell you next week what comes in on this first Sunday. Last year was incredible. Let's blow it out of the water. Father, this is just a money part today. It's also a thing where we're signing up to go. And so here's my prayer, God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Money is a part of it. So God, be with us as we give today. But help us to realize it ain't about money. It's about the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Is my prayer in your name. Amen.